We are officially spring. I want to welcome a few people here among the midst. We have the sister from Ann Arbor, Debbie. We welcome her. All the girls are hanging out after the game, the basketball game. I don't know what time, like 1 o'clock or whatever. I could hear the noises like, let me go sleep. Also want to have Reggie and the whole family stand up and want to welcome you too. Reggie had that playoff game yesterday. Playoff? No. Almost. It was yes or no. Amen. So they won the game by 3 points, neck and neck, and they are in the playoffs. So pray for their success and move into Pistons, hopefully, prayerfully, after the games and all that. So good stuff. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about Deuteronomy, my favorite topic these days. And I want to talk about God cares about your heart. Maybe growing up, no one cared about you. Maybe you were left out in the family. Maybe no one really hugged you growing up. I showed you affection, hugged, and all that good stuff. And you were left out. And maybe growing up, you saw some damage in the family. Maybe some dysfunction. Maybe dad wasn't there, or mom wasn't there, or maybe siblings having a fight, or like, where is God? I go to church, but where is God in all this thing? And I want to be able to teach this point today from Deuteronomy chapter 9, that God really cares and looks out for you. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, it's so refreshing to see the sun just for today. Because tomorrow's clouds, then Tuesday maybe snow, and Wednesday again maybe sun again, then it's winter, and then it's summer, and then it's, I don't know, Lord. God, it's hard to predict, but you know it all. God, help us to seek your kingdom one day at a time, not to worry about tomorrow, but just today, right now. Father, as we learn from Moses and Aaron and God, the people of Israel back in the day, and God, their journey, I pray we can learn something from their journey. And we can learn about you and your heart. That you really care for each one of us today. God, thank you for each one of us. I pray we'll open our heart and our mind for the message. We love you. In his name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, by the way, we had a great time in Lansing for those who were there. Joel, it was great to hang out. And they provided us food and dessert and sausage. It was really good. I hope you enjoyed the fellowship. Also, we learned about prayer, and I hope this week, last week, you had a great time of prayer. I remember just some of the things talked from Revelation, just, hey, it's more heart into the prayer. A quick recap, four things I want to cover today. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the heart and how it's so important to take care of what is in your heart, the issues in our heart. Okay, we have an issue with somebody. Some person, people you work with, family, whatever, that we can talk about your heart and flush it out, bring some spirituality. Because if you don't take care of your heart, then God really cares for your heart and he will bring in a trial to take care of the heart when you did not take care of it. Are you with me? So he's giving you a lot of grace, heads up, he'll give you 1 year. Maybe 3 years, maybe even five. But after 5 years, God says, I love this person so much, I gotta bring in some discipline. And only God knows every discipline is so different from around the world. I don't know how God does it, but he does it. Secondly, today we're going to talk about not because of our righteousness. And then, do not make an idol. And finally, Hebrews 3:3-8, hear the voice of God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, today we're going to go ahead and look at it. Follow with me, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispose nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them, and I've heard it say, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them, he will subdue them before you, and he will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. You know, when we are close to God, when we are connected with God, God goes before you and prepares the way for you, to help you, to guide you. And in fact, things look very bleak. He will actually subdue your enemy right in front of you, and then you'll give glory to God. But then if you're not close to God, that relationship with God is not tight, then God doesn't go before you, and you are subdued by the enemy. But God wants to help you. It goes on in verse 4. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, in your mind, in your heart, in your quiet time, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. Nope. It is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going in to take possession of the land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord our God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess. For you are a stiff-necked people. Okay, so I know sometimes we fall into the trap that it is because our righteousness. It is my good looks, I got the job, or it's my beautiful resume, and you know, my boss, I gave him a good handshake, so he loves me. And, you know, I was very honest in the interview, or I was very honest in this circumstance. And it is because of my disciple, Christian. We pat ourselves on the back in our head. Have you ever done that? I've done that. But God keeps everybody in line. Don't go ahead of yourself and you think you're doing it. You're not righteous. You're actually stiff-necked. I mean, for them. Now, today, hey, I don't know if you get stiff-necked. It was a joke. But is God going to take care of you in that sense? And God said, you know what? It's not because of you. How many years with the Lord? Oh, you have great insights. You know, memorize the scriptures. It's because of the wickedness of this land. And he wants all glory to himself. He doesn't want you to take glory, then you'll become prideful. You look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, right? Be just thankful and grateful for what God has done. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, remember this and never forget how you provoked the Lord your God to anger the desert from the day you left Egypt until you arrived there. You have been rebellious against the Lord. At Horeb, you aroused the Lord's wrath. And he goes on, talks about it. And then Moses goes up to the mountain, stays in the mountain days, 40 days and nights. He ate no bread and drank no water. Verse 10, the Lord gave me two stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain of the fire on the day of the assembly. At the end of 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the two stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord told me, go down from here at once, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have turned away quickly from what I commanded them and have made a cast an idol for themselves. And the Lord said to me, I have seen this people, and they are a stiff-necked people indeed. Let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I'll make you into a nation stronger and more numerous than they. So I turned and went down from the mountain while it was ablaze with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant with my hands. But I looked, I saw that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourself an idol cast in the shape of a calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands, breaking them to pieces before your eyes. Here we see a story, and you heard it and seen it in your lifetime, you know, and maybe in a growing up in church, or what Moses actually did. But what I want to talk about is the golden calf. They could have waited for Moses, but they lost their patience. They were not connected with God. They had an expectation how the leadership needed to be, how Moses needed to be. And so instead of getting close to God, they replaced Moses with an idol. They wanted security. And so they set up. They didn't listen to Aaron, the right-hand man. And so they went ahead and set up an idol. You know, if you've been around for a while in the churches, you may have seen leadership changes. Maybe you've been part of a church split up. Maybe you've seen a lot of drama. Maybe you haven't seen anything yet. Maybe you've seen folks just walking away. A bunch of people. They may not have actually built a calf in front of you, but maybe they found another idol in their life so they can feel good. It's about feeling good. I really believe that God will test your heart. He will intentionally shake up the leadership to test your heart and their heart. You've seen it throughout generations, all through generations. Prophets after one after another, kings, major prophets, minor prophets. Even in the time of Jesus, even in the time of after Christ was gone. It's Peter and James, then Stephen, Paul, Timothy, Silas, all these men, and they're all gone, and then they were tested. What will you do the next time you're tested? Be proactive here. What are you going to do? I don't think I'll be leading this church the next 30 years. Maybe. I don't know. Debbie's laughing. 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a Caleb. Maybe a young guy will come. Is that going to rock your boat a little bit? What will you do next time? Will you run away? Will you pull away? Will you get critical towards the leadership? Follow your friends. One guy goes, you'll follow the other person too. Or will you sit down and evaluate your relationship with God before the storm comes? Or will you be close to God and just be patient? God is in control. Because Aaron was part of the leadership. They didn't listen to him. Aaron got subdued. He couldn't help them. So I don't know how the text is going to come, or how it's going to come for me or for you, or we don't know, right? Now next month I'm going to India for my family wedding. I'm going to go for two and a half weeks. What if I don't come back because my mom is dying? I can't inform anybody because the internet and the phones are not working. I'm making this up. But what if there's an earthquake? What if there's a war? What if there's a tsunami? What if something goes wrong? I'm trying to shake you up a little bit. Because 40 days, it just took 40 days. I don't know if they made it all in one day, but maybe they started 30 days like, okay, 1 month is up. Okay, that's it. We're going to make something. No, wait, he's coming down. Coming down to the mountain, 31. No, he's not going to come. They're all having a fight and argument. One group says, no, he's coming down. No, he's not going to. They're all fighting it out. 35 days. Listen. We'll give him 5 more days. And it's 40. We're going to make it. Well, look at that. He didn't show up. And they were all happy with it. Now God waited 40 days and gave the tablet and told Moses to go down. He knew what was happening. God can watch a whole world. Everything. Hey, buddy Moses, time to go down. Moses is like blown away, like, what in the world is going on? Sometimes God waits till they actually sin and then deals with it. Make a point. God cares for you. God wants you to connect with Him. What will rock your boat? What will rock your boat? Because they had an expectation with Moses. He needs to be a certain man. If you've been around for a while, I've done mistakes. If you haven't seen yet, you don't know for sure, you can talk to Pam. 26 years, man, the sins I've done, I got a whole month. I can preach all about my sins for a month. And I appreciate the church working with me. I'm not perfect. I missed an appointment. I've come late. I have. Maybe I hurt you. Maybe I offended you. Maybe I misunderstand you. Maybe I was in the mountain too long. Whatever that is. But what are you going to do? Yes, I have my own test. And Moses was close with God and they didn't understand that he went up to the mountain to become spiritual. If he knew what was going to happen, get the tablets, he would have told them, hey, by the way, guys, I'll be right back in 40 days. Oh, hey, man, I feel secure now. Because there was a communication. I got the email and text, like, oh, I feel so good. How do you feel when you don't get a text or email in time? Let's talk about it. Well, how come they didn't? I'll send it again with an attitude. I'll call him, not picking up the phone. Oh, what kind of church is this? I've heard over my last few years, last 10 years I've heard. They don't return my call. There's no communication. What's the structure of the church? What's going on? Attitude after attitude after attitude. Because they're not close to God. So you set up an idol very quickly. That happens very quickly, guys. What is your idol today? I don't know. Write down. What is your idol? What will make you secure in this world? What brings you joy? What makes you feel good? If it's not God, then you have an issue in your heart and God's going to deal with it. God will deal with you. He'll deal with me. You think I never had issues with leadership? 30 years. I've been in London. I've been in the Middle East. I've been in India. I've been in the Asian with John Louis, with Singapore. I've been in Chicago, in the Midwest. I've been in the ACR region. Now I'm in Michigan. You think I'm not tested? I am. I have another sermon for another day. But one test is, they didn't reply my email. 5 leaders, all I love and respect till today, only one replied after the fight. Where's the other 4? They're tested. I'm tested. A couple of them told me they were going through a depression. Oh. They told me like 5-7 years later at a conference. I wish I was there for them. So having an attitude, I should have shown more compassion. And too often we come to quick conclusion. It's all about me. No. Maybe you can pick up the phone and just have a conversation. That's what I should have done, but I didn't do it. I was into myself. What's your idol? What will make you secure today? They made a calf. What are you going to make up? We're going to close it up with one more scripture here. Can prayer change God's mind? And the answer is yes. Let's look at in Deuteronomy chapter 9, 25 to 29. And so now the story goes that Moses lays prostrate before God. God calls him back again. He goes another 40 days and nights and brings back the second tablet. And this time God did it right. Amen. The finger of God, and wrote the whole thing. But now God told him, make a chest and get the ark and place it in. And so he goes down, and then God still like really worked up. I mean, this is God's heart. He wants to wipe him out. But Moses goes to God and just pleads and prays, God, please. Let's pick up in 25. I lay prostrate before the Lord these 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, oh, sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people. Man, he's putting it back on God. Your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of these people, their wickedness, and their sin. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us all, say, because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the desert, but they are your people, your inheritance. that you brought out of with great power and outstretched arm. God relents. He doesn't destroy them. He sees Moses' heart and answers the prayer. Did you know that what you can pray, you put your request before God and He will listen? God, please don't let the boss fire me. That's a good one. You know you're going to be fired. God, please. You'll be amazed. He'll change his mind. That happened to me in Chicago, one of the bosses. I was doing a real estate. I was an office manager for a real estate company. And he already told me he was going to fire me. Like, shh. But he wasn't firing me. Like, what's going on here? And I told my wife. And finally he called us for a party. There was like a family big party, big, I don't know, 100 people. And I walk into this party and I meet the owner. And I said, hey, good to see you. And here's my wife. And then they hug each other. Like, what's going on here? This is the guy who's going to fire me. He doesn't know my wife, doesn't know anything. And say, hey, this is Pam, George, hey, by the way. And you're like, good to see you. And gave a big hug. Like, man, is that an ex-boyfriend or what? I found out 20, 25 years before that, whatever, high school. They went to high school together. Chicago, Roosevelt University. That's answered prayer. And then he didn't fire me. So because of you, I'm not going to fire you. What if I didn't bring my wife that day? I would have never knew that story. Honey, he fired me. Really? Okay. Pray. Pray God can move people's hearts. You got to believe that God can do it. He has the best interest out for you. And finally, I want to share this couple. They lead the churches in Pakistan. Great Shaquille and Poonam. They're like a couple of churches in Lahore and I think it's Pokhara. No, one of the, I can't remember the name, but they lead a church. But I'll go back a little bit of story to close it up, and then Dave's going to share the story a little bit. Shaquille was asked to go into Afghanistan, where the Taliban's hang out, and start the church, but he has to go scout the land. He grew a beard, I think maybe a year, looked like a Taliban. Send pictures. He doesn't post them now, but the wife's like, honey, what are you doing? Well, I got to look like them. And he actually got on the bus to the border and went to Kabul looking like a Taliban. Speak about faith. Honey, when he can come back, I don't know. He's going up to the mountain. But what I love about Poonam didn't abandon God. Poonam didn't abandon a husband. I'll wait on God, be patient. And I'll be fired up and I love my husband. Today they're fired up, they're excited. Like, I don't know how many years later, I think they're 94 or 99. But they're doing incredibly well. But God will test you. You can't set up an idol. You can't abandon relationships. Abandon God and each other. We are here for the long haul. But we will be tested. You will be tested if you got issues in your heart. If you dealt with it, good for you. You got to deal with it as you go. Get one person, two, three, four, five, ten, maybe the same issue. They're not listening. Okay, deal with it. They're not understanding. Deal with it. They're not forgiving. Deal with it. Same thing. Same thing, the same struggle. I'm not kidding, it is the same struggle. But I appreciate their heart, their hearts, they're sold out. When he counted the cost to go to Afghanistan, you know what he said? You must count the cost. What are you willing to do? I'm willing to die for Jesus. Wife is okay with that. Honey, don't say that. What if they're killed? So be it. I'll see you in heaven. I want to go see them. Chris and I are talking about it. One of our trips. Okay, we got to do a lot of praying with that one. Well, let's go ahead and pray. And Dave, why don't you come up, and then he will pray for the communion. We'll close it up. So let's really be close to God. And Dave's going to come and share how we got to connect with God. And we may have ups and downs, but we are close to God. So, Dave, welcome. All right.
Talk about stiff neck.
Okay, there we go. I actually grew up 2 hours north of here in Ludington, God's country. But I really remember as a kid, just really at a young age, just searching for God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know truth. I wanted to understand. I remember going to the fairgrounds and getting this little New International Version New Testament Bible, and I was reading it, and I didn't understand half of it, but I kept going, and trying to learn. But I noticed that as I did that, I continued to want to do my own thing. I knew it was right, you know, I was at that stage. And sin, I always seemed to find sin, you know, sin entangled me. I went to Grand Valley for 1 year, and I ended up just leaving, moving out to San Diego, and that's where a few bold, humble, very patient men shared the gospel with me, really taught me how to be a fisher of men, how to repent, to love, all those things that it talks about in the Bible. But that happened basically in 1989, that's about 29 years, so it's been a while. But for me, that was powerful, that moment. It was a new start for me. My sins were forgiven. I felt, you know, totally clean before God. And then I got disillusioned. I thought life was going to be perfect. I thought I was going to be perfect. I wasn't going to sin. But just like, you know, in Genesis 4, sin is right there, crouching, waiting to have us. But really, it was my disobedience. I have a disobedient heart towards God. So instead of fighting sin, I began to make excuses. Just really hurt a lot of people over a long period of time. I ended up going in and out of the church. Always, okay, well, how come my needs aren't being met here? What's going on? You know, hey, I'm important here. Well, No, you're not. But really, that's my heart. You know, that was my heart at that time. And just, you know, just looking back, seeing how many people I hurt, sisters that I've hurt, you know, leadership always, you know, well, you should be doing singing this way. I mean, I could probably get up there. It's like, come on, man. I mean, just that arrogance, that haughtiness in my heart. But, you know, I'd blame others. I blamed God for my sin. There's sins that I couldn't overcome. And I'm like, well, if I can't overcome this, I'm out of here. You know, instead of really getting the tools and the help I needed, yes, I would confess sin, but did I have that desire to really dig in and get into the dirtiness of the heart? And I wasn't, to be honest with you. That's why I ran. I ran in and out of the church. But 2014, I ended up getting a job over in Appleton, a great job, and a brother, Damon, who leads the church over there, really took me in and just really, really helped change my perception of God, who God was. Taught me about grace, taught me about being patient, not being critical. Purity and holiness that God desired for me. He wanted to have a relationship with me. I should have known this as a Christian, but I pushed God away. I didn't want to get deep with myself or with God. So I was restored back to the good Lord. Amen. Back over in the church. Just went through a group of studies. Just really dug deep in my heart to try to change those things. But sin is still there. It's a fight. It's a battle. That's something that how much more do we need God? How much we need Jesus for what he did on the cross? And I say this, you probably say, well, hey, you made mistakes. You sinned. You're here. Well, along with those things that I've done, there's consequences. And I'm not saying this to be funny, but if you want to sin against the IRS, you'll find out what consequences are. You'll find out if you want to sin against your wife, there's consequences for those things. And of course, God, you know, forgives us, but he wants us to have that heart. If you would turn to verse 5 there of Isaiah 53. And it says, in verse 5, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. The thing I really had to wrap my mind around was, here is God, pure, holy, loving, desiring a relationship with me. And yet, he couldn't have anything to do with sin. And so he said, okay, I'm going to send my only son. You're going to bear all the sin of the world. And I don't know about you, sorry, but if you're a parent, man, you get the sense, you can see God basically had to just turn his back and say, you know, you can't even imagine what he had, but he did it. He did it for us. And the thing that really, every time I read this or think about when we had the communion, is that Jesus was crushed. I mean, I think about the movie, if you've seen The Passion of the Christ, you've seen just the humility that the humiliation that he went through, the pain, the people spitting in his face, making fun of him, and the literal, beating that he had. But God had, that's the way God feels about sin. And that really, man, that really moves my heart, because it if Jesus can do that, that moves me to love him and to be a fisher of men, to fight my sin. Don't give up. And in the last part of that, it says, we all, in verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. Take the bread and the juice. Let's just remember, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and how it really can motivate us to love God more and to really be a servant, and not to be served, but to serve others. Let's pray. Father, it is an honor to be called your son and daughters. We are so grateful for the incredible compassion you had for us, Jesus. Thank you for enduring the cross, enduring the pain, the humiliation for us. And we're so grateful, God, to know you, to help us to really fight and come face to face with the deep heart issues that we may be struggling with. God, I know you're in our corner. You're fighting for us. You never give up on us. God, thank you for the message. Thank you for the word. Please help us to live a life worthy of your calling. In Jesus' name we pray.